Hello, this is your warning, pre-intro warning, because the intros are drunk. This is the last of a five-part drunk cast. And bear in mind that a five-part drunk cast means that we were drinking for over 5 hours. At this point, we're approaching the five-hour mark, because they're all an hour or just over. At this point, we're probably 4.5 hours in. And also bear in mind, in the first hour, Stu and Chris got through a whole bottle of rum. No, was it rum or whiskey? Rum, I think it was. And I drank a fair bit too. I didn't drink as much as these guys, and I only noticed right at the end, so that's good. But anyway, this is where we're at peak drunk offensiveness. It ends with Chris... let's just enjoy, but brace yourselves. And Happy New Year, man. If this is how you're starting your year, then the only way is up, my friends. The only way is up.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we are for episode 5. We've all got outside and had a good scrap about Christmas dinners and we've come to a conclusion, so let's all calm down a little bit. Episode 4 got a bit rowdy. This episode will be out after Christmas, so let's focus on other things. Drop the theme tune, buddy. Peace. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. How you doing, guys? How drunk you feeling?
I'm feeling 3 mince pies out of 4.
Stu, can you either tell me how drunk you're feeling or translate Chris?
I don't know what he's talking about. I just watched him put a bit of mince pie in his mouth. Half of it just fell out of his mouth.
It's more confusing to us because we're sitting here and Carol had bought us 3 mince pies and he's eaten half of 1 mince pie and he looks down at it and says, I'm feeling 3 mince pies out of 4, which makes it so much more confusing.
I don't know what it means.
To the listener, it might make a little more sense. Also, little tidbit, there's 1 sausage roll left.
You could have said I'm feeling like 9 out of 14 sausage rolls because you just smashed the whole plate.
I'm feeling half a mince pie out of 3 mince pies and a sausage roll. Stew.
Come on, guys.
How drunk are you feeling, Stu? Oh, I've got face aches from giggling.
Oh, drunk and confused.
Drunk and confused. Which historical figure would you most like to have on a podcast? That is from Born in 73 UK. Anyone?
I'm going to wait for Chris.
Historical figure.
Shall I refer you back to Reed Holly's question? Dinosaurs?
Shh, shh, shh. It's going to be a T-Rex, guys. Which historical figure would I like to see?
T-Rex.
On a podcast.
Yes.
Megatron.
If you could only see how much he's laughed at his own joke.
Who's Megatron?
Oh, I love the fact he's got 2 go-tos. Transformers and dinosaurs.
There's a question from Ben
Caulfield,
GK. What are you thinking about the Rugby World Cup? So, on to the next question. another one from Born in 73. Favourite film, album or book of 2019? And what film, album or book are you looking forward to in 2020? Now,
Megatron.
A little precursor. Stu can't read. So, Chris, any films, albums or books that you've enjoyed this year? He can, really. Oof. Film or album of the year?
Of 2019.
Megatron.
I laughed
at
my
brain in my face. I don't know. I've not read anything in 2019.
Just go with album or book. Or movie or album, sorry. Or would you like one of us to go? Stu.
There's some kind of like Grand Prix game going on over there.
The Joker was your film of the year, right?
Yeah.
Have you got an album of the year? Have you listened to much new music since the 90s?
Pearl Jam.
I hope I pronounce this right. The Michael Kiwanuka album.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying that at the moment.
I've not heard it. It's offered him on the podcast and I haven't heard the record yet. So
right. I was gutted.
I really enjoyed that. And Book of the Year. I enjoyed...
Roger Red Hat.
Your voice changed then, Stu. What was that about?
I don't know. Jim Bob from Carter's book.
Oh, amazing. Mm. He's the best. Mm. Has he been on your podcast yet?
Yes.
Yes. My album of the year has been Chance the Rapper. Mm-hmm. Big Day. It's fucking brilliant. I was listening to it on a drive, got about halfway through and I wasn't particularly hit by it. And then a song, I think it's called The Big Day, hit me. And from that point onwards in the album, I was just astounded. So, yeah, I rate that. Oh. Film of the year, I don't know. I think it's going to be either Uncut Gems, I really enjoyed. Waves, I really enjoyed. And Hustlers, I really enjoyed.
I did.
So, yeah, a few there. But I'll be doing my Films of the Year podcast as the first podcast of the year without a guest. Or the first non-drunk cast podcast of the year, I guess. But, yeah. Chris, have you got any? And I've not read many books. I've read Louis Theroux's book, Got to Get Through This, and it's fantastic. Mm. So I'd maybe sling that up there. Oh, no, I read, was that this year? Dr. Kate Devlin, Turned On.
What was that about, mate?
It's about sex robots and essentially sex robots. And it's okay. Fucking amazing.
And so you're going to fuck them or not?
I would fuck a sex robot, yeah.
How about you, Stu?
And I think it should be made less of a taboo for men. Because all joking aside, it is a like, oh, a sex robot seems weird. Women enjoyed machines all the time sexually, and I think there should be more male sex toys.
What do you think about that, Stu?
And technology.
I'd fuck one.
Oh. Who's one? New friend?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Chris, films or books or music of the year? Any of them. Doesn't have to be all of them.
I would say documentaries.
The or great noise of the year.
The Great Hack.
The Great Hack? Not watched it. On Netflix, right?
Yeah, 100%. Good. I almost think that it should be compulsory.
Yeah.
Because I think it talks about how we are all suckered in for the internet and social media and voting. I think it's terrible, it's terrifying, and I really do think we all have to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it shows you how much of a sucker we all are as human beings. And as much as we think that we might think we know what we're talking about, we don't at all, remotely.
I don't think anyone thinks you know what you're talking about.
Well, let's make me be the flagship for that, Stu.
All joking aside, I definitely want to give that a look. I've put it off for the similar reasons you were saying earlier about some of the heavy dramas that you're like, oh, I just can't deal with it today.
I thought it was great.
And that's been it on a few things. I've kind of looked at it and thought, fuck, man. Like, I've watched some amazing documentaries this year. I think all of us loved the MIA
blew my mind
documentary, right? Was that this year or last year? That might have been last year.
I actually weirdly think that was 2019 or 2018.
Yeah, I think you could be right. But it's fucking amazing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just really mind-blowing. Well, if you're a fan of her or not, it's fucking
astounding.
Yeah, I think
it describes why she started. And
my documentary would be the Frank Sidebottom documentary. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fucking blew my mind.
Watch that. I told you on the train, I got interviewed by Frank Sidebottom.
Blew my mind,
that. Once. Yeah, me and Dan, when we were on tour, and I think we played Scrabble with him or some kind of board game.
So cool.
Mind-blowing. It's cool as fuck Frank Sidebottom, isn't he?
Beyond cool. Did you guys watch the documentary about the twins, the guy whose memory was erased?
No.
Have you heard about it?
Yes, it's on Netflix as well,
it
right?
It is. Have you watched that, Chris?
No.
Tell Me Who I Am.
No idea.
Tell Me Who I Am, I think it's called. And so it's twins, and when they were...
It's not a porno, right?
No. When they were...
So one of them's big and muscly, and one of them's small and bald. It's not a documentary, it's true.
Oh.
Twins. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
They've got very different accents.
Yes.
But the same suit. He's my little brother.
But the same suit, so they're obviously related.
Yeah. No, it's about twins, and when they're about 19, 20, one of them has a motorbike accident, and his memory is completely erased, apart from the fact that he recognises his twin brother. And his twin brother then, spoiler alert, I guess, spends however long telling him about his life and his upbringing and his memories. And then it turns out what his brother has told him his life was a complete farce. And he's built this whole life in his brother's head.
Whoa, what do you mean? It's a complete farce. Why?
He's lied about what his life was. About,
so what was his life?
He was, him and his brother were being abused by their parents and their circle
of
friends.
So he never says that.
He protected him from his brother and told him a fictional life to protect him. And then the documentary sort of, you know, culminates with him sitting down with his brother and asking, why did you never tell me what was going on? Just weird shit happens in it.
Sounds amazing. That's a beautiful thing, though, if you can remove
it's dark
a horrific
because,
thing from your memory.
Yeah,
he then finds you'd a photo. You want to protect that, right?
It's kind of nice to say it's a beautiful thing from our perspective, but from that poor bastard's perspective, it's
well, his perspective was he thought his mum and dad were. His dad was very, very authoritative, but his mum was quite kind. And then one day, I think when his mum or his dad died, one of them died, he basically, his dad asked for forgiveness on his deathbed, I believe. But the kind of weird part was they were just clearing out some stuff and they found a photograph of themselves when they were young in their parents' wardrobe, naked. And with their heads sort of removed from the photo. And it was like, oh, that's me and my brother. What's that about? And then, yeah, they were being passed around like all sorts of high society and
fucking hell, Stu, that's really, really,
it's
really,
crazy,
really
crazy fucking thing. And like,
there's a quote that Paloma Faith nicked for an album or a song. Can't remember who the original quote is by, but it's, "Do you want the truth or something beautiful?"
Mm.
And it feels it's such a quandary. I think in that situation, if he's got the choice of protecting, his twin from this horrific stuff, that's fucked up his head and life.
Yeah, massively ruined his life.
You get to go, all right, you've got a clean slate. I now have to, again, the other thing is he now has to go through it on his own. It's someone that he may have been able to share that pain with previously, but now he gets to go through it on his own.
That's the discussion that happens between him at the end.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
There's a film called Three Brothers.
I've not watched this. This is the one where that's amazing. A very nature versus nurture, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's fucking, I won't say too much, but it's astounding. It's
the one where they all smoke the same cigarettes.
Yeah, loosely, it's triplets who were separated at birth, unaware that they were triplets. And then by chance, they encounter each other and they realise how much is the same and how much is different. And it's mind-blowing. Really good.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we even started on any of this.
Yeah, it's very tragic.
Or should we go on to...
Why are you laughing?
The fact that you'd stopped listening about 3 minutes ago because you're on your phone, and as he wrapped that up, you went, just tragic.
Very tragic.
No idea what was going on.
No, I was looking for wank material. No, seriously. what was that movie?
Twins.
No.
The second you mentioned triplets.
Two little sisters, I'm just watching.
What is that movie? It's not the Hendersons, it's the Petersons or something like that. It was a 90s movie, documentary.
Harry and Hendersons.
No, not about Bigfoot. And,
is it about the abused
family?
Family, yeah. I've got it on DVD.
And it's fucking... It's
what's it
so
called? It was
sad.
One of the first of the kind
it
of
was.
Big
was
documentaries
first...
that kind of wasn't... That was a film rather than just a documentary on TV or on reality
and
or whatever.
And it takes you down that story of thinking it's one way, of about like a institutionalised paedophile and his family and what he did to his family... And then as it starts to pan out, you start to doubt everything about it.
Mm.
It's fucking destroying because towards the end, they meet each other. And,
she's got the giggles.
She's got the giggles.
No, I remember that. It was and because there was another one around the same time about a young lad who'd filmed himself his whole life. And it was a similar thing where it's clear he'd started to film himself because he'd had some... fucked up shit going on. I want to go back and view a few of those early documentaries that,
really
that caused
tough.
This boom.
Yeah, really tough to watch. But also, there's a point where the kids, well, one of the kids and the dad meet up and they don't, either of them, don't really know what the truth is. Or you don't know if either of them do know what the truth is. And it's fucking so sad to see a family blown apart. Because when you start seeing the media get on top of it...
And let's ignore Stu on this because he's got the gigs. But I think it's a completely valid point because, again, the way things have gone in the media with the change in the amount of documentaries out there and stuff like that is we have a prescribed thing of here's how you must react to tragedy. Yeah, 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 and one of the things in particularly some of those early documentaries, and as you hear, I mean, I noted Epstein, R. Kelly, Prince Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that you realise is that people react to these things differently, and yeah, all reactions are correct. Yeah, they're exactly allowed to... Some people, like, again, the Louis C.K. stuff is an example. Some of the people that happened to just moved on. And to tell them that they should be damaged by it is terrible. It goes back totally to that twins thing
don't
of going,
you feel bad,
well, you don't
that
know,
that
but
happened,
you should know and you should be fucked up. Right. It's like, well, no, if somehow your brain has managed to go, you know what, fuck that, I'm moving on, and not be damaged by it,
by any means necessary, whatever gets you through.
And I think there is a problem in society now where there's a set way that you should act as a survivor of these things, and I don't think that's the case. I think some people react differently to others, and all reactions are valid and really need to be protected. Like, if you've just moved on from it, great. Still looking to help and doing it the right way, but if you've just moved on, you don't have to be kind of shamed into here's how damaged you should be. Yeah. But equally, if you are, you need all the support in the fucking world.
Yeah, for sure.
We've not talked about MMA at all, and now we're episode 5. You know, that sometimes the people, that's the thing that some of the listeners tune in for and some turn off for. So let's talk MMA a bit, right?
Yeah.
From fucking kids to MMA.
Yeah,
go.
Indeed. So I've got 5 different people that I've noted as having mind-blowing years. I'm going to start with Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, right?
And her fight last night was a really important one because everyone's like, it's the most tested she's been. She still won 4-1. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone online saying, yeah, but she was scared to stand up with Jermaine Durandamy. It's like, we can say Jermaine Durandamy was scared to be on the ground with Amanda Nunes. It's MMA. It's not a kickboxing fight. So that was exciting. But her other big win this year was Holly Holm. And at the end of last year was Cyborg. Yeah. And that was really where she secured. And it becomes a mystery of why she's not the biggest star in the UFC. Because she's inarguably the greatest female of all time. She's beaten Ronda, the woman who beat Ronda, Holly Holm, the woman who beat Holly Holm, Miesha Tate, and Jermaine Durandamy, and Cyborg, the woman. Jermaine Durandamy had the belt, dropped the belt to move down a weight class because she didn't want
to
fight Cyborg.
She's
beaten everyone, and she's beautiful, an amazing person in interviews. She's proudly in a relationship with another female UFC fighter, so a wonderful representative of the LGBT plus community. And why isn't she the biggest fucking star in the world?
Oh, man. I mean, it's really tough. It's really tough because she is
all
those things.
She was on a card last night with, like, one of the first cards where she's got a title on the line and she's not in the main or co-main event.
Yeah.
It's one thing, you look at that and go, exciting, 3 title fights on one card. That's exciting. And they do it by weight. So I'm not saying it's some conspiracy, but it's still... When she was going against Ronda, all the hype was about Ronda. Well, when she was going against Cyborg, all the hype was about Cyborg. And it's like, why aren't you building this greatest female fighter of all time?
If that card was four or five years ago, Ronda Rousey would have been top of the
bill. She's the greatest fighter of all time.
Yeah.
She is. Like, she's beaten everyone unequivocally. Okay, she came to a decision last night. That doesn't matter.
Just a quick pause. Stu's stopped to draw beards and moustaches on the beer mat. So that shows... I was going to ask a level of drunkness at this stage, but
it
doesn't need. I'll just explain it. But yeah, absolutely amazing year for her. I'm going up in the order of people I think that have had the most mad years. So Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
His fight against Barboza was fucking mind-blowing. His fight against Cowboy Cerrone was fucking awesome. And it's so pleasing because we were proper excited about him debuting, right? Because he's the most violent man in sport. Just amazing to watch. And he had an up and down start.
Yeah.
He goes in there and puts it on the line. He was undefeated when he came in. He's lost a few. He's won a few. But now he's had a couple in a row or 3 in a row, I think, where he's looked amazing. And he's the most exciting guy.
Could have been a great fight for Conor, but he didn't want that, did he?
The funny thing
I'm not
Conor,
dissing the fight with
I was going to say,
where...
like, we've talked a lot about how much I think Conor's an absolute melt, but people like Conor ducked Gaethje. What do you mean?
Mm.
Like, there's no, it's not like he's the next, it's not like there's a title and he's next in line.
Well, the fight was being talked about, wasn't it?
But again, there's a lot of fights being talked about. Generally, if you're coming off a loss, you go against someone who's coming off a loss. So Connor and Cowboy are both coming off a loss.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked the Gaethje fight, but again, it was all the crowd just talking about it. There was numerous fights being talked about. That doesn't count as ducking. Mm. If you've got someone who's repeatedly avoiding a particular opponent, but at this point, Connor's coming off a loss, so it's not that he's next in line for anything. So
I think to a degree, but I think it's weird, you know, to take that stance that he's come off a defeat, so he's got to, you know, do this, do that. That works in one mindset, but then the other mindset is that of money, which is it's Connor. He can do what the fuck he wants, and I think it's a bit more balanced than he's got that, so he's got to fight them.
I just think the Cowboy fight makes total sense.
Completely agree.
They're both
completely
coming
agree.
Off loss,
I'm not hating them at all.
It's the biggest money. It's the biggest. Like the Cowboy is a bigger name than Gaethje to the general public.
Yeah, I'd just like to see Gaethje just light up Connor. That's all.
Same, but still, again, I think there's tons to come for Gaethje. Other people have had a big year. Peter Yan, who smashed Faber last night, but this year he's done Dodson, Rivera, and Faber. And he's looked amazing in two of them. In one of them, he looked good. Yeah. But in two of them, in Dodson and Faber, he looked fucking...
I mean, props
next
to...
Next level.
Props to... I know you don't like him, but props to Uriah Faber for taking that fight.
Yeah,
that
madness.
Was a
Why was he taking
daft
that fight?
Fight, man. Like,
the thing that blew me away was he's taking that fight when Aldo and Edgar are active. Why wouldn't you just fight a big-name veteran who's like you, who you've got a better chance of beating, rather than a not-that-big-name fucking killer?
Yeah, but that's kind of obvious, right? Because he believed he could beat him.
Yeah.
Because he bought into the own hype. Because he's not watching all of Yan's fights.
Yeah, I guess it's just... It's again, there is respect there that he's taken that, but it was... Peter Yan looked
stupidity
amazing.
And ego that made him take that fight.
Yeah, I guess
so. And why wouldn't you? Like, you've been the Californian kid has been a legend in MMA for so many years.
I wonder if there's anything in it that is... Because, again, I'm not a fan of Faber, or either of you are a fan of Faber.
No.
I quite like him.
I wonder if there's anything that he's a better dude than I'm giving him credit for. Because the fact is, him fighting other veterans doesn't help anyone. Him fighting a young, up-and-coming fighter, if he wins, it's a big win for him. Actually, credibly. But if the other fighter wins, he gives them the rub. It's a big thing in wrestling, and I know it's very different, but the veterans, the big veterans will generally fight a younger up-and-comer, like when they're close to retirement, to put them over.
Yeah.
To give them the rub, to go, here you go, you've got my name on your thing.
Yeah.
And it felt a little bit like that he... It'd be nice if he had any of that in mind, just kind of going, look, you know...
Maybe in a couple of years he looks back just saying he's got that peace of mind going, look, I can see that he was a fucking prospect that was going to wipe the floor of everyone. What a way for me to go out. I lost to the next
don't
big
know,
thing.
But that didn't sound like what Faber was saying. Yeah. Faber was saying he's on this whole new run. He wanted to fight this guy, then fight everyone else.
Well, I thought he said something along the lines of, I think this, I look forward to the next 10 years of alpha male fighters fighting him because he's the real deal.
There's a thing that Jack Slack talks about, and I think the Fights Gone By podcast by Jack Slack is the best MMA podcast
out there.
Totally. I've watched it.
I listened to that years before it was a thing. Only because you
generally,
put me on
I think
it.
His assessments are amazing, but he has a thing like there should be a term for the best ranked fighter or exposure fighter that's the easiest win or best match, like best stylistic matchup. And Cerrone is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the perfect matchup. It's not an easy fight for Connor, but it's the easiest and biggest name combined. And similarly, when Faber came back and fought a Ricky Simone.
Yeah.
A Ricky Simone constantly gets caught by hooks, and that's Faber's bread and butter finish. It's like... But Ricky Simone is a young up-and-comer. Mm. And it was that kind of, here's the best possible matchup that's still tough. It's not saying, again, a lot of people have got hated on because they're saying, oh, Connor has picked the easy choice. Cerrone ain't an easy choice. Mm. But I do think he's the easiest of the current options.
Yeah.
The most logical choice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a test, but it's a big name and... the stylistic matchup is beneficial to what I want to go out there and execute. And yeah, I think that's another person on my list. And again, it's almost undeniable that he's had the best year of anyone. There's only one person I've got above him, but I would happily have this guy as top anyway. Jorge Masvidal.
Masvidal's had the best year.
Till Askren Diaz.
Askren. Yeah, Till. 100%.
Just that win over Till, where clearly he was there to give Till a win. And then that win over Askren, where he just destroyed him in no time.
Well, fastest knockout ever. Okay, that's luck. But then also he trained for it.
You can have that Pepsi Max ginger.
He also trained for that knockout.
Yeah, completely. He planned it.
And his whole conversation in the Diaz fight after it, the post-fight press conference, is the most gangster thing ever.
He's so gangster. So, yeah, I just think from someone who's been, who at the start of 2019 was very much, he's a middle of the road, he's been around ages, he's a Guida or a Sanchez, or not quite their level because he's not been around as long, but still, he wasn't thought of as this top name. And then end of this year, he's arguably the biggest name in MMA, outside of maybe Conor returning, John Jones maybe, but even still then, he's just, what a year.
Yeah, man.
And smacking up Leon Edwards backstage in a post-fight interview, three-piece and a soda.
Yeah.
Just three-piece and a soda,
so
man.
So gangster.
Yeah.
I love it. And again, the fact is he's real. The thing I liked about that, and I did some soul-searching on this, and this, I'm not making it about me, I swear, but in general, I love the sport. I don't think it should be brutality and violence, but equally, like with the Masvidal and Leon Edwards thing, it's like, well, he's properly from the streets. He came up fighting in Kimbo Slice's YouTube street fights. So all this smack talk thing, everyone's like, oh, it's just marketing. It's like, well, it is to you. If you're talking shit to some people, they're not going to go, oh, it's just marketing. They're going to go, you said that, so we're going to have to deal with this shit. And I like that, because I think that's a big problem, like with social media, that people say shit they wouldn't say in real life, as if it's nothing. And that was it with Masvidal.
You're accountable for it.
Leon Edwards said some shit, and he was like, oh, we're going to fight then. I'm going to punch you in your face now for saying that. This isn't some marketing, and you've got a phone going or a camera crew nearby. It's like, cool, let's fight. And I kind of, again, it was a weird one, because like, I don't like to condone outside of the octagon violence, because they're meant to be athletes and professional competitors. But I don't know, there was something about that. It's the same with Nate. Like the Diaz's are ones that it's like, no, they're from the fucking streets. It's not a joke to them. If you think that all this talking shit is just to sell a fight, then bump into him in a hotel lobby and you'll see differently. And I love that. But the other person on the top of my list, only person who can challenge Jorge, is Israel Adesanya, Stylebender, who in this year beat Anderson Silva, then Kelvin Gastelum in probably the fight of the year, and then Robert Whittaker to win the belt. The walkout was iconic, and the biggest platform to fall from if he lost. Like, if you're going to pile on the stakes, do a walkout like that in the biggest challenge of your career, and then deliver on it. He's a superstar. He's an absolute superstar.
Young.
On the mic, he's a meme god. On Instagram and everything else, he's the king of memes. And he happens to be a fucking amazing MMA fighter.
Yeah, super exciting to watch.
So that's my people on my list for this year.
How about you then, Stuart?
I've retired, mate. I think it's like, it'd be ridiculous for me to come back out and do anything like that.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, mate.
Thanks, man.
Give the people what they want. Just stew with
you
it, Matt.
Getting fucking pounded.
Was it Matt Emulsion?
Absolutely pounded by Matt.
What was your mindset, and what sort of smack talk would you give, like, in the dojo when you was a black belt?
Your ghee smells stale.
No, but back to this question, what sort of smack talk did you give?
So, have you listened to the Hardcore Listening episode, Pip, where it might even have been a Patreon, where we realised that we went to the same karate school?
It was one of the most mind-blowing bits of podcasts I've ever
literally forgotten about it.
Genuinely, because I've known you both ages, and because it's become a joke that Chris talks about his black belt all the time, and then you have a moment where you realise you were trained by the same guy.
It was when you said about Guy, I just remember Stan's Guy was so well ironed that when he threw a punch, it snapped. And I remember just thinking,
that was mind-blowing. All the talk you've had about it is like, hang on.
God, yeah.
Trained by the same guy in the same place, obviously 30 years apart, but still.
Yeah.
And Stan had got a lot better in those years.
Yeah, well, really, he was only 14 when he was training me.
Another two fights I've got noted is Wonderboy v. Pettis.
Yep.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Wonderboy looked amazing, and then everyone's got a soft spot for Pettis. On Stevie Graham's question of the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, I was so tempted to go for the Wonderboy kick.
Benson Henderson.
Yeah. Oh. The Showtime kick,
Where
runs up the cage and kicks him in the face. And we were watching it live, the last ever WEC, and it was just, what is life?
Yeah.
This is amazing. He ran up the cage and kicked that guy in the face.
Yeah, went for full Matrix.
In the last ever fight for the title. Mm-hmm. So in the last ever moment in the last ever fight for the title in WEC, whole company is folding after this fight.
Yeah.
And he does that.
Insane.
So everyone's got a soft spot for him. So him to beat Wonderboy with a Superman punch off the cage was pretty fucking cool.
Insane.
A guy had never been knocked out before as well.
And then I've got Maia v. Askren. And I want to talk about Askren a bit, because now he's retired.
What?
Yeah, he's retired.
Yeah, he's gone.
Retired?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He's run off.
I can't believe that.
I can 100% believe that.
Or again, you've got to look at the fact he started the year retired, because he retired in 2017, and then he only returned for this UFC contract.
Didn't know.
And then he beat... The reason I was so anti him... was he beat Lawler and he didn't beat Lawler. Well, Lawler smashed the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And then he put a choke on and the ref thought it was over and it wasn't, and so on and so forth.
Close call, though.
It was a close call, but he wasn't out.
Mm.
Herb apologised to Lawler immediately. Again, I'm biased because Lawler is one of my favourite fighters of all time, but Lawler was cool as fuck on that, because he's just lost to this huge fight unjustly. And within a second, he said to Herb, like, it happens, man. It's all good.
Mm.
Is what it is. So I was annoyed at that. So then for Masvidal to flatline him with a flying knee within
five seconds.
Mm.
And then for the Maia fight to be this chess match, and then Maia just fucking squeeze him and proper leave him looking in a bad way, was cool as fuck. But now he's retired again. Still, the fact that he got to 2019 undefeated in his career, fighting good people still. Again, people say, "Oh, he stepped up to the UFC and that was the difference." He stepped up to the UFC after 2 years of being retired, and as soon as he's retired, he's revealed he needs a hip replacement.
Mm.
So when he steps into UFC, he's not in a good way. So it's, I don't know. I've got respect for him, because I think he still is. He's beaten some amazing people. But he got... The thing I love about MMA that's different from boxing is that everyone loses.
Mm.
And it's not the end of your career. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Everyone has that point. GSP gets clipped by Matt Serra.
Mm.
And he comes back and he's still the best world weight of all time. You know, it's not, oh, this is it, your career's over. And I think that's what I love about it. And I think that gets ignored in the Askren bit a bit. Everyone's like, he stepped up and he just wasn't good enough. It's like, no, he's fucking brilliant. But he'd been retired for 2 years and he did. There was a step up in competition still. Chris has popped his balaclava back on. He's doing weird silent movements that aren't great for podcasting. But, you know, it gets the message across. So what's your thoughts? Is there any other fights or fighters that you want to highlight? It was cool to see Nate back, right? Him beating Pettis after like 3 years off and looking fucking slick as fuck.
Yeah.
Or anything in boxing?
Give yourself a second.
The fights I'm looking forward to, I'm interested to see how Rose Namajunas returns.
Yep.
Very interesting to see.
She was the queen of last year.
Yeah, but you reckon that it's not been blown over and that it's going to end for her?
I don't think so at all, because I think her one loss was so unlucky. And again, I'm totally against the idea of a lucky punch because you throw shit, blah, blah, blah. But when Andrade Jessica Andrade. She picked her up, and they were saying how the way that Rose has her, this slam can't do anything because she's got this submission on, and she did it three times and it didn't do anything. It was making it worse. Mm. And then this one time she slammed her and she landed on her head and went out cold.
Mm.
And it was, yeah, it felt heartbreaking because up till that slam, Rose looked as good as any female has ever looked, yeah, in my opinion. The footwork that she was displaying, the strike and everything just looked amazing. So she can keep her mind together.
Yeah.
And I like the fact she's taken a bit of time on it.
Yeah.
And not just rush back.
Be interesting to see if Reyes brings anything to the table against John Jones. Watched the press conference the other night. Fuck John Jones.
I think he's scared. I think he's got a real a lack of confidence, and people don't seem to say that. But I think the reason he has popped multiple times for performance enhancing drugs is because he's taking performance enhancing drugs, because the myth of John Jones is
far scarier than the reality.
The reality. I think he's still great. He's still done more than... Arguably, he's the greatest or one of the greatest of all time. But still, I think that myth has grown and grown and grown. And he's sat there going, am I really as good as everyone says?
I think so.
Like, or do I need performance enhancing drugs to make me as good as everyone says?
Definitely.
Well, that's MMA covered, right, guys?
Yeah.
Anyone else bored with that?
Anthony Joshua?
So,
Reyes hadn't trained since the last fight.
Well, it's really weird because he put on weight for it, didn't he? But Reyes.
Not Reyes, Ruiz. Sorry, yeah.
That whole thing.
He put tons of weight. He looked an absolute mess.
I don't think he looked a mess.
I think he looked a fucking mess.
I don't think he looked fatter.
I think
he 100% looked fatter.
I thought he looked stockier, but I didn't think he just looked out of shape. Then he said he wasn't training with his usual crew.
He said he hadn't trained as much, he'd partied too much after the last fight.
Crazy.
He looked a fucking mess, in my opinion.
You know, it was... I'm not the biggest Joshua fan, but he done what he had to do. He boxed smart. He done exactly what I sort of thought he'd do. Didn't make for a particularly entertaining fight, but he done what he had to do. Won the belt. Be interesting to see if he has to do the mandatory... If he fights the mandatory fight for the WBO against... Oh, his name escapes me.
The Russian, isn't it? Is he a Russian?
Houdini.
Harry Houdini, correct. And whether or not it brings on some more exciting fights, which, you know, I'd quite like to see AJ fight Wilder.
Who wins it, Stu?
Who
wins it, Stu?
Wilder.
He does.
Chris, watch my set list.
He's knocking things over.
Drunk
Chris has put his balaclava back on and started knocking things over, FYI.
I also think that the most, which I think will be a boring fight, but I think it will be...
Chris is trash in the place, in a balaclava and some Elvis sunglasses.
I think Tyson Fury absolutely humiliates Anthony Joshua.
Do you think?
Yeah.
With ease and I think...
And homophobia and...
Well,
yeah,
sexism.
No, because I'm
no fan of Tyson Fury, but I just think he's too fast, moves too well, and has got a jab that I think...
Hold up.
What?
I've just had an audio file from Brett Goldstein. A celebrity question.
That cunt. What's he got to say?
Are you ready? This is unchecked.
All right, let's go.
So let's see.
Hi, guys. Brett Goldstein here. Congratulations on another year of amazing content, especially you, Stu. Not that I have favourites, Stu. But I guess... what I wanted to hear you guys discuss is just something simple like, what is it we're meant to do with the work of Louis C.K. and the work of Kevin Spacey and the work of Harvey Weinstein?
Are we to
get rid of it all? Are we to watch it with a different eye? Or are we to enjoy it and separate what we know of these people from the art itself? Something simple for you three to answer. And a lovely Christmas conundrum it is too.
What a question to come through when we're really
drunk. What's a hairy cunt for saying that?
That's your catchphrase, isn't it? Yeah, that's a hell of a question. Art from the artist. We kind of touched upon it with Mr. Glitter earlier.
And
yeah,
Mr. Exactly. Morrissey.
And Mr. Morrissey.
So where do you draw the line on it? But then you do that with Jackson as well. And I don't know if I was ready for it as well. I'm just not sure.
I stopped playing Michael Jackson and R. Kelly at
exactly.
the club night.
Same.
Carol didn't. No. But we stopped. She didn't want to let the terrorists win.
Also, she didn't stop kissing us in the toilet, did she?
There we go.
Eat your camel's nuts, Chris.
Eat your camel's nuts, you cunt. yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? The key thing, I think, is to highlight that there's differences in all those people. And I think it's easy to put them all in the same... Sorry, Stu's... Chris is eating a camel's nuts and he spat it out.
I need that.
So it's the problem I think we have, as Chris has pointed out numerous times, is being on either side of the fence or having a lack of nuance. Uh-huh. Louis C.K. asking women if he could masturbate in front of them is creepy and weird.
Super weird.
It's not the same as Harvey Weinstein raping people. No. It's not the same as Kevin Spacey raping people.
No.
Or allegedly. Again, I think Kevin Spacey might have been cleared of everything in the last week or so. But still, there's big differences even in the accusations. Adding in Michael Jackson. Abusing children isn't the same as Louis C.K. Again, that's not defending Louis C.K. It's still inappropriate. It's an abuse of power. I don't believe in kink shaming. I don't think the issue is how, oh, it's weird, he wants to wank in front of people. If that's what he's into, if it's consensual, fucking stay out of it. But exactly. It's the fact that it's not consensual and there's power involved in it. Mm. But the big problem, yeah, I think is the grouping them all in together in this Me Too type era. The Me Too movement has been one of the best things to come up in recent years, in that it's exposing people and calling out shit that shouldn't have been going on. So 100% in support of that.
Yeah.
The problem, small problem, and again, it's as we were touching upon earlier with Peterson, that it's like, well, is this law, it will help 95% but might cause problems 5%. The focus is on the help. The Me Too thing, the focus is on all the positive it's done. Mm. The fact that it's exposed these people, it's hopefully started to push for justice and change. The small 5% is going, where's the nuance and how are we keeping hold of the nuance? So I think that's kind of my kind of...
Yeah, that's a fair shout.
View on 100%. That. With Louis specifically, it's tough, man. I don't know what he's going to write about, because he's always written about being a creepy sleaze. That's going to be hard to write material about going forward.
That's the hard thing about it, man. He used to talk about being disgusting out of sight.
That's going to be hard to write about going forward.
And are we talking about going forward? Are we talking about do we still enjoy their previous works?
Right, yeah, both, I guess. The previous works, again, I think on film stuff with Weinstein.
Woody Allen's, and we're talking about all of this.
Oh, that's right, yeah, anything you want to go into. But my thought is Harvey Weinstein, Spacey, these kind of people, they didn't make any of these things on their own. Mm. It feels like an injustice to say that because they're a fucking piece of shit, you have to fuck over all these other...
Exactly.
As you were saying about Glitter earlier, why shouldn't the other guy make some money? The guy who wrote it, should he not be allowed to make money because Glitter was a piece of shit, unbeknownst to him, was a piece of shit?
It's weird because them conversations never really come up about the others. And an example being where they do sometimes come up is when you get people going... What about the other four dudes from the Lost Prophets?
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, they were in this really successful band that probably could have lived comfortably off the royalties of their music for
and
the rest of their career.
Theoretically argue, oh, they must have known. No, not necessarily at all.
Not necessarily. You've got to have really big speculation to definitely know.
To assume the darkness of what that cunt from Lost Prophets was doing, no one would jump to that conclusion. Yeah. It's fucking too impossibly fucked up and horrible.
As you grow up, you don't go...
Brett, why did you send this when we're hammered?
No, because you're so
But I do think that sometimes you can separate the art.
Yep.
Because it isn't just that one person, as you mentioned. It is a company.
It's tougher on your Jacksons and your Louis C.K.'s and your R. Kelly's, for example, where it's undeniable.
Yes, but how about all the times that it's happened and some people know it, then you don't?
What?
Loads of that has happened. Alice in Wonderland, the guy who wrote that. There's so many artists out there who have done shitty things and then define shitty. And then what scale are you talking about, shitty? At the point that when you stop listening to them.
Well, there's not, there's not a line.
No, exactly.
It's like, you know, it's all personal, gradient. Isn't it? Like,
to me, you know, I think that's the biggest driver, Stu, is that...
I think some people can listen to something still that was made by some people that, you know, if one person involved in that done some fucking horrendous things, you know,
I respect the person who decides to say, oh, you know what, I'm not sure, I'm going to dial out of it. Me and Molly did that the other day. And we did it on a comedian who has done comedy, and I'm not talking about fucking like 70s comedy. I was talking about Face Jacker.
Mm-hmm.
When he did the sort of blackface George doing the shouting out PIN numbers.
Right.
And my girlfriend was like, oh, I'm not keen, I'm not cool on that. And we got into this massive conversation about it. It wasn't an argument or hate from either side, but it was so complex.
Mm.
And I mean, what you were saying, Stu, it's like, I don't know if there's ever a right or wrong answer. It depends on the question. Mm. But I think you've got the right to decide whether or not you want to watch that or want to listen to that. And I don't think anyone should musically say one way or the other. Like, you have to make your decision on that.
How do you musically say something?
I don't want to listen to R. Kelly.
I used to like Ignition, but I can't play it no more.
I just still get an erection, but it's not fair to anyone.
So I hope that answers your question, Brett. Any other TV shows or films of this year?
The Great Guys. Hack. The Great Hack.
The Great Hack. You've mentioned that one.
The Great Hack.
Fleabag was this year. What a fucking...
Was it?
Yeah. Beginning of this year.
Your mum's a Fleabag.
Thank you. Succession was amazing. Chernobyl. True Detective. Top Boy.
What?
The Boys.
True Detective what? Season 3?
Mm-hmm.
I've missed it. This year. Fuck.
It's amazing. It's fucking really good.
Oh man, I'm gutted. I've missed it.
I quite like Motherhood. Motherhood or Motherland? What's it called?
What is it?
I'm
drawing a blank.
It's the BBC comedy with Philomena Kunk. What's her name? I can't forget what her real name is.
Mm.
She's in it.
Diane Morgan. Don't know it.
Yeah.
I tell you what's good, The Cockfields. It was on UK Gold or UK TV.
You ever played in them, Chris?
Playing my Cockfield. It was on UK TV, and it's written by Joe Wilkinson and Brian Gittins.
Right.
And it stars Joe Wilkinson and Diane Morgan.
Right.
And Bobby Ball.
Right.
And the woman, I think it's the woman from the Royals.
I can't believe
the Royal Family, maybe.
Bobby Ball's come up twice in this conversation.
Yeah, but it's really good. And it was only three episodes. I wholeheartedly recommend it. I think it's really good fun.
Can we mention some podcasts?
Yes. What podcasts have you enjoyed this year? Fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Even I've listened to some. Exploding Alsatian was amazing.
Gay Boy Roy made me think of you instantly.
Thank you. Just blew my mind, that podcast. I get super excited every time I get that. A Buxton episode that blew me away, that I thought was really interesting. I liked the Chris Morris episodes.
Yeah, great. Really good. Both of them were great.
Yep.
And I felt pleased that he wasn't happy with the audio, because I was fine with the audio on both and we just got double.
But Friday night, listened to him chatting to someone that I'm not necessarily a fan of the band, but really enjoyed his episode with Nicky White.
From the Manics. Yeah. I've not listened to it yet. I've got it really recorded.
Good. Really good.
Buxton's a prick.
Oh, okay.
Because he's just popped... You know, he vanishes for a bit, then pops back with some more episodes. He just popped back with Jeff Goldblum and then Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Two in a row. How's that? That's like two of the best guests that I've never heard on any podcasts.
Yep.
And he's like, here you go.
Two fucking more amazing. Throw in now. Stephen Graham on Desert Island Discs.
Amazing. Really good.
And
I love that. Speaking of Desert Island Discs, there's been some talk in the press recently that people are saying that Lauren Laverne has been out of her depth on Desert Island Discs.
Bullshit,
I couldn't disagree more.
I think
she's been fucking amazing.
Absolutely.
Stephen Graham on there was amazing. Louis Theroux on there was amazing.
Tom York
was amazing. There's been so many great.
He was fucking ace on it.
And she's fantastic on it. I don't know. I only saw the headline that she's responded to people saying she's out of her depth. I was like, what? Why were they saying that? She's fucking brilliant.
What's
on
to
it.
Be gained by that? Like, yeah. I don't get it. Like, Kirsty Young, great.
Fantastic.
Like, loved Kirsty Young. But things change. And, like, who better?
No one better. Like, who better than Canyon?
Just think she's great.
One I want to throw in that I think Chris should listen to. Have you watched Fleabags season 2?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So.
And 3 and 4.
So.
And I got a signed copy of season 5.
So, Phoebe Waller-Bridge on How to Fail, her second visit. I've got a stutter. Her second visit is one of the most mind-blowing bits of podcasting I've ever seen, because they talk about a storyline that Phoebe wrote into season 2 that she didn't realise that she'd taken from Elizabeth Day, from her life. And it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's a really good episode.
It's quite a heavy story as well, isn't it? Am I right?
Yeah, it's a really heavy story.
Also, have you ever watched Emmanuel?
Yeah. That was high-end grot.
Exactly, real grot.
That was one that was on like the top shelf when I was growing up. You know, if I went in the video shop, there'd be like Emmanuel, and it'd be like, blimey, I bet that's well rude.
They don't even allow that now. They cover all the magazines in
I went to Hamburg a few weeks ago. I won't really go into the Reeper Barn because that's a bit blue. But first place we stopped was the services. And all they sold was high-strength lager and jazz mags.
No way.
Sweet. I love Miles Davis. That's a jazz. Just a joke about the
nice.
About the term.
I'm
going
to have a quick wee. And I'm kind of hot.
You are kind of hot. I always thought that about
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, guys.
I thought, Chris, how would you describe him? I would go with kind of hot. I'm just having a quick look on Facebook to see if there's any good questions. Get cunt on is one statement from, that's obviously your friend Cunt and the Gang.
That is happening on Hardcore Listed in the new year.
Good, good, good.
Is
it really? That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely excited about that. I'm a fan of Cunt, but I've never really personally engaged with him.
You bought his book. He's recently done with Mr. Gels.
I bought his book.
Bumface Poo Hands.
I bought both his books.
Oh, you bought the new
one as well?
Bumface
Poo Hands and I Cunt.
Oh, you bought that? Right, cool.
His own autobiography.
Did Noel write a question?
Yes. Let me find it. It was a good one. I can hear Chris talking and he's outside on his own,
which is really disturbing.
He's talking to his little Winky. Noel's question was... Noel, I assume her name is on Instagram... I'd like to know how you all would answer this. If I ruled the world, the first thing I decree is... Now, let's try and calm Chris down before he answers this. But, Stu...
You go first.
What would be the first thing that you decree? First thing I decree would be voting reform internationally. That we actually vote in a way that is actually democratic. It's a really boring answer, but I think the voting system at present is... a fucking disgrace. I do a tweet every year before any elections saying, are there any protests anywhere about the way we vote, the way the votes are counted, the lack of democratic representation? Because I think that we should be rioting in the streets ahead of elections, not just when the system doesn't go our way. I think it's... after the last election, when it was clearly unjust, people were in the streets protesting. It's like, well... you're protesting because you lost. If your side had won in this corrupt system, you'd be all over it. But as they haven't, you're protesting. And I think you should be angry either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris has put his balaclava back on.
Sure. I've got an answer.
What would you decree? Yes. I'm reckon it's going to be a good answer from Chris. I reckon it's going to surprise us with his... with not a drunk, crass answer. I'm setting it up to be horrible now, aren't I? Chris... what would you decree if you were if you ruled the world?
Learn to inhabit the position of your opposition before you decide whether or not you're right or wrong. Because I'm so fucking bored of watching everyone argue why they're right on such limited information and their ego that has already decided that they are right before they start to have a conversation. And all the time I see it, day in, day out, people aren't talking with each other and trying to learn. They're trying to tell someone why they're right.
Yeah.
And they have an agenda with that. And when I say they, I mean absolutely anyone I've ever met, including myself. Mm-hmm. And we really need to stop doing that, because we can't have, we can only have a political, we don't get the cliche is you don't get the politics that you want, you get the politics that you deserve. And every time we prove that the case, every time I go on online, every time I watch Facebook, whether or not you're right or left, conservative, Tory, or everything in between, I just see us all making really limited arguments where you have to attach yourself to one tribe or another, and that tribe isn't the truth.
Mm. Only reason,
or relative truth.
Only reason that Stu's laughing is this passionate speech is being given whilst Chris is wearing a balaclava of a mythical octopus.
Sleeping human. God, mate. Yeah, sleeping God.
With his nose poking at one of the eye holes.
He's not even wearing it straight.
But that's what I truly believe. And I think that I'm so bored of, like, I've really stopped following anyone now, because anytime I watch anyone on YouTube,
of all the legal cases against you,
it's because everyone is so quick to follow a tribe, and yet what I think is the best tribe to follow is the relative truth.
I think you're completely right. People want to win an argument or simply give an opposition to an argument.
Yeah.
And there's an importance in giving opposition and counter conversations. Totally. But when you've got a valid position to be coming from, it's easy to say, I want to argue against that, to give an opposition. It's like, well, what qualifies you to give that opposition?
Exactly.
If you're not qualified to give that opposition, then maybe just shut up. Again, I talked about politics at all in this election, because I felt everywhere I looked, I couldn't say more than the fucking experts that were talking
exactly,
about it.
Exactly, because they're experts. Yeah. And yet we all do. And yet now we're in a position where there's YouTube and podcasts where we all talk about things, and then there might be people thinking, yeah, they're right. Mm. We're all fucking absolute idiots.
Yep.
And stop basing your opinion on however many followers or how cool you think that person is. They're fucking morons.
Cult of celebrity.
All of us.
The cult of personality. And again, I was discussing this recently, because some people I really like were talking about someone I really like being, oh, you should go into politics. And my argument was, I think that person's fucking great, but I don't think they should go into politics.
No.
Unless they're going to spend 6 years minimum studying politics. The reason Obama was decent, and Obama fucked up a fuckload. I'm not saying he's the perfect example,
yeah,
but
completely.
He studied politics from an early age and had a good outlook. He wasn't a celebrity. The reason Boris Johnson and Donald Trump are shit is because they're celebrities in positions of political power. What we don't need is a left version. Everyone's saying, oh, we need fucking Oprah to run for president. We need Kanye, we need Will Smith. No, we need someone who knows what the fuck they're talking about. With Labour at the moment, it feels like Jess Phillips is interesting. I've not done enough studying on her, but she seems to know her shit and be a working class woman who's studied policy and systems and could be a good version, a good option. But again, what we don't need is a famous person from the left to counter a famous person from the right. It's as bad as each other.
Yeah, totally. And stop looking for anyone. Firstly, start fucking learning yourself and then realising that there's not a good fucking choice at the moment.
And as much as anything, fuck Stu.
Yeah, that guy and his tiny fucking, his tiny gangrene, shriveled dick.
Stu, we're at the hour mark. Before we go, I've had a last minute question submission from James Acaster. He's on a train, so couldn't record it, so I'm going to read it out. But tell us what you would decree if you were ruling the world. I'm going to have a wee, because I know I am interested. I can hear from outside, but
Kiss FM.
Okie doke, I'm going to go and have a wee. You should discuss that a little more. Go.
There was no thinking behind it, was there, mate? No. Really?
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It's left you hanging, mate.
It's just music for. It just don't matter.
It doesn't matter, mate. Him and his celebrity mates. His tiny, bald celebrity mates.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, mate. I'm hammered out of my face. I'm wearing a Cthulhu mask.
It looks fucking great.
Thanks, man. And I'm going home soon.
Yeah.
Pip's come in now.
How's it going, guys?
All right. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Good.
We're back with the big podcast ender.
Okay.
Question.
Right, how are we ending this podcast? Come on, man, because there's people who want to kill themselves listening.
The question from James Acaster is, and this can be, I want you each to answer this honestly within the restrictions of the three of us, and then honestly within the restrictions of the whole world.
Okay.
His question is simply, who is the coolest?
That's a fucking cop-out of a question, isn't it?
Well, out of us three?
I want out of us three, and I want out in general. You're thinking, who's the coolest person at the moment?
Well, I'll go first.
Yep.
I mean, look at him.
Yep.
It's me.
I'm voting for Chris as well.
I mean, look.
Genuinely.
I mean, he's voting for himself as well.
Yep, it's a landslide.
Because genuinely, I was voting for me too.
I'm voting for Chris because I think cool is really not caring what anyone else thinks. And I can't look at Chris and think he cares what anyone's thinking.
No, not at all.
I can't look at him and think he's given any consideration to what anyone else is thinking.
So long as we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
We can move on. Thank you.
But genuinely,
pathetic shambles.
Who's the coolest? Who do you rate in the world at the moment? I would put James Acaster on that list because I saw him doing his stand-up recently and genuinely, he was annoyed with a crowd member and he let that lead the whole show. He didn't just a wash over a heckle. I think also he had a book out this year that's just about the best albums of last year, and it was amazing. It was cool as fuck. I think he's a... And Off Menu has been fucking huge, but who do you think is the coolest?
Well, I think we've spoke about him so much tonight, and the fact that he submitted a question, as much as Brett is my favourite... I just, you know, Brett's ridiculously handsome, so he hasn't got to try and be
cool. Oh, he's not cool, though.
No, he's not cool, though, is he?
He's handsome, he's funny, he's talented, but Brett is not cool.
Fucking hell, mate, you better fucking... Was you going to say Brett?
No.
Were you going to say Brett?
No, you was going to say...
Fucking hell, well, I'm glad you brought up the fact and highlighted that Brett isn't cool.
You're going to say our other friend, who was in The Irishman, right?
Yeah.
Stevie, I think it's a good shout. I think Childish Gambino's a fucking shout. He's just cool, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You think of cool, he's fucking cool. He's a cool cunt. He's a cool cunt. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to end episode 5 of The Drunk Cast. I'm glad that we've done this because it's been a while since we... Is it only in the Within that we can get really messy?
I think so. I think it's
there's
the
something
only...
about it.
Yeah. It's where it began, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's... I mean, we're at the hour mark. Let's wrap things up. You go and then I go. We're playing 20 questions with Christopher Glasson.
Right. Okay, I mean, I'm generally gone.
Okay, so, by the way,
so you think of a person.
Coolest person in the world is Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge is a great choice.
I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge is actually the coolest person on the planet.
I think she's super fucking cool.
And now what is the actual question?
We're going to do 20 questions now. Right. Stu is going to think of someone, and you are going to ask him questions, and you're going to guess who he is.
You know,
the game that on that drunk cast that you thought you'd invented, and it turns out it's just that game as old as time.
I know the game.
Ask him some questions.
My question to you, Stuart Whiffen.
Yep.
Are we doing coolest person? Is that
no?
No. Stu's questions. Thinking of someone. Ask him some questions. See if you can figure out who he's thinking of.
Is it Rubber Bandit?
No.
All right. That's my question.
Speed it up.
A few more questions. You've got 20.
Well, is it only me now?
Yeah, it's only you. I can join in if you
please
want.
Please do.
Is it a person?
Correct.
Are you male?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man, that over just sped you. Things right up. Good
thank
question.
You.
Are you alive?
Yes.
Are you a chef?
No. 10.
Are you an actor?
No.
Do you... Oh, God. Is it some shit band that
no,
you like?
No, not a band.
All right.
Are you a musician?
No. 10.
Oh. Is it a family member?
No. 11.
Is it a friend?
No. Definitely not. 12.
It's me, isn't it? Are you thinking of me?
No, 13.
Are you a comedian?
No, 14.
Have I asked if you're an actor?
Yes. I said
that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Are you a politician?
No. 15.
Are you a sportsman?
Slow down. Now 16. We've got fucking who is he? Choices. You're being wasteful with your guesses now. Right, we need to really slow this down now.
Are you a real life character or a fictional character?
No, he's asked.
Are you real life?
Yes. They're alive. That's
16. They could be a fictional character still.
16.
They're not an actor. They don't like music.
Bearing in mind, if you're on the telly, you're not necessarily an actor.
Do you like? Are you a sports personality?
I've asked that already. That doesn't count. Are you a reality TV star?
No. Oh. 17.
Are you a presenter?
Yes. 18.
Fucking hell! Right, we got.
Stop banging my table, you cunt!
It's a male presenter.
It's a male presenter. We got to really calm this down. How many presenters? What you want? Ones you thinking about?
There's more than two.
Right, Ant or Dec? If I say Ant, you'll say Dec, and we're in there for fucking...
Is that a call
we're
and
in
response?
There for 20, mate.
If I say Ant, you say Dec. Ant. Ant.
No, honestly, we're in there. Is it either Ant or Dec? And that'll rule them out, but it's a male presenter. What male presenters has
would
he been...
be into?
Yeah, exactly. TV presenters, what does he like? He don't like fucking trash TV, does he? Does he like radio DJs?
You've
like
asked me.
Chris
you've
Evans?
Asked me if it's a friend, and I said no, definitely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but no one likes you, whether or not you talk to them. Doesn't
talk
matter.
Show host?
No.
Do you think you're Graham Norton's or you're Jonathan Ross's?
I'm not sure about that, man. Maybe. Really got to narrow it down. Narrow it down.
Are they a talk show host?
No.
Oh, you cunt.
A reality no, a presenter still.
He's on TV. What? I've forgotten now.
I reckon it's Dermot O'Leary.
No, it better not be. Better not be.
We've got one left, so you've got the last question.
Yeah, but right, okay. So let's have a quick summary.
Maybe ask about the
hair. Give us a quick summary.
Right, it's a television presenter that's not my friend, I think that's about it. Really, that's all you've got.
No, well, you better give us some more, mate.
Well, no,
that's not a question, that's a threat. 20 questions, one threat.
Your mic's going to fall out of there in a sec.
Quick question.
Put the mic stand down.
Wait, quick question.
Why is he turning into a rock star?
I don't know.
Is it, quick question, is it Piers Morgan?
No.
Oh, you cunt.
We've got one left.
No, you won't.
We have, we've got one left. Who is it? Who is it then? Go on. Fucking
Andy Peters.
Andy Peters, of course it fucking is. So now I do mine, right?
I'm going to have a piss, go on, go for it.
Right, start, Chris. Go.
You can't fucking go because I've got a memory of a sieve. I'm not going to remember.
Oh, you have to deal with that, wouldn't you?
Right. Okay. Is it?
It's male.
Okay.
But not a man.
Is it a cartoon character?
Slow down, man. We've not got that many.
Not traditionally, but it has been.
Okay.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Is it Godzilla?
No. How many is that? Four.
Three.
He's had one though.
Yeah, no, but is it? Is it?
Four.
What's that character that you're wearing on your head?
Philly. Also, it's not a man, but yeah, go on. Is it?
No.
So
that's five.
Slow down, Stu, man. You've got to slow this game down. That's why I lost the last one. I'd have got to Andy Peters in a cinch.
Okay. Is it an animal?
Yeah, I guess.
Slow down. Come
is
on.
It a dinosaur?
No. That's eight.
Is it the centrepiece of the movie?
No.
Is it the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters?
No.
Oh,
10.
Man, it was definitely close.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. I wish it was.
Is it a robot?
No. 11. This is gripping ending. This is just, they can't question the drunk cast when we end like this. The rest of it, they can question. The 5 hours we've done prior.
Yeah, but that's what
they
everyone's
can't
waiting
question
for.
Give us a quick update on what we do know.
So
it's,
you've got
the kind of male.
It's male. It's an animal, I guess. It's been in a film, but not the focus.
Is it going to be Battle Cat or something like that?
It's also not Godzilla or the Marshmallow Man.
No, it literally can't be anything.
Did
though.
I say, had it been in a cartoon?
I said it has been, but it wasn't traditionally a cartoon. It wasn't originally a cartoon, but it's featured in cartoons. Because you said, is it a cartoon?
It's featured in cartoons.
You said, is it a cartoon? And it isn't.
Is it?
It has been.
And it is kind of male. Is it... did you ask if it was a robot or anything like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said no.
Yeah, you were sitting there. It was about a minute ago.
Remember?
I don't. There's not a robot.
You've got nine left.
Malish, not an animal, not in a cartoon. Or
no, I said it is kind of an animal. Kind of an animal, kind of male. A male animal.
Is it a monster?
Does that have any definition of intent?
No.
So I guess it's kind of a monster. It's a male animal type creature.
But it's accidentally.
It's a creature. Monsters. Let's go. I'll help
Has
you
he
with
got
creature.
Fins?
No.
Oh, sorry.
You were so happy with that.
Really, really bad about that.
Are they? Do they live
in well in
modern times? Like, is it an animal that walks the earth?
No.
Oh, obviously. Is there ripples in water when it walks around a little bit?
I'd imagine not. It depends how close. There might be if I walk around. So, but yeah, not notably. That's 15.
What? So, oh Jesus Christ! What? It's not that. Jesus Christ, it's not a T-Rex. What the fuck is this all about? It's not a shark. It's not a T-Rex. It's not the Terminator. What else could it
be? I don't know how you got shark and T-Rex. They were questions you'd ask. The robot and the fins. I get it now. I didn't know you didn't show you working out.
I've got to take my face mark off for this.
Is it a puppet?
No.
Oh, mate, I don't know, Stu. I think we've really ruined ourselves here. We've been too
imagine
fucking
the public
careless.
Are listening and having a good old bloody guess.
We've been too careless with our guesses, haven't we? Is it something that we've chatted about tonight?
Nope.
Right, okay. That helps.
Three left.
Just leave everything.
So just
else,
all the things we've not chatted about
in the world.
It's kind of a human, kind of been in comic cartoons, also a male, but not a human or a monster, but kind of can be ish.
Yeah, I'd say a creature.
Oh, but not King Kong.
Monster seems like it gives too much.
It's not King Kong. It's not
connotation of intent.
Mate, there's so many like that, though.
Mm.
Oh, God, how can I ask a question where...
You've got three questions left, lads.
Is that a clue in itself?
Nope.
Two.
That's not a question.
Two. You got two questions.
Oh, you stupid cunt.
Oh, man. Right, Stu, think about this, man.
I've been trying it, but you've been too busy asking fucking dumb questions, you prick. It's not a puppet before you say it, Chris.
No, it's not a puppet.
Stop touching shit on my... Stop touching shit.
Monster, is it?
two questions left, lads.
Can you quickly summarise, because I've got a proper shit memory?
Mm-hmm.
Come on in. What's the...
All the things you just said. It's not a monster, but it's a creature. It's not a robot. It's not got fins. It's in film, but not the lead subject of a film. You're eating a mince pie. The fact that there was three questions left isn't a clue. It's a male creature.
But it's not the subject of movies.
It's not the lead character.
Scooby-Doo.
No.
Why did you say that?
Because
I'm really angry about that. Is it festive?
Oh, it was in a festive film that was a spin-off. It's not what it's most known for, but there was a festive version, a TV version of a festive TV version of its ish.
Chewbacca.
Bang. What? You got it.
Yeah!
Yes! What a glorious ending! Chewbacca toy sat on the side. That's who I was looking at.
Wow.
I worried when Chris went over there and was staring at literally a Chewbacca toy. And ignoring it, but looking at the Fraggle.
Oh, we made it, Stu.
Attention, Chris.
Oh, that was big. And that was a big question from... Did Chris ask if it's festive? That was a big question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate. You can't get Chewbacca from festive. That was very
You
good.
Can, that fucking awful Christmas special.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm sure this is the glorious orgasmic ending that you were all hoping for.
Yes.
Guys, Happy New Year. Chewbacca.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was the drunk cast. I'm going to reveal to you at the end of this something I've only revealed to the Patreons. So next Wednesday will be my Films of the Year podcast, as is always the way I will be recording it, possibly as you listen to this on New Year's Day. But my first guest of the year, the week after that, is going to be... Sorry, no. So the films of the year will come out on Monday. But then my first guest of the year will be Mr. Carl Pilkington, podcast flipping royalty. So, yeah, that is on its way. Thank you for surviving the drunk cast. I mean, we all just about did. I don't think I've heard from Chris since the drunk cast, actually, but I think we all survived it. So, yeah, Happy New Year. Enjoy my films of the year on Monday and Carl Pilkington to kick the year off in style on Wednesday. Ta-ta!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.